Today's daf is daf Samach Zayin. We're holding on Samach Vav on the base, mamish in the middle of a sugya, because we were just talking about the machlokas about whether Yush is Kena. So we had yesterday a machlokas on Samach Vav on Aleph between Rava and Rabbi Yosef. We'll see, by the way, more about the Yursa, whether it's Rava or Rava, we'll see later. But our Girsa was that Rava initially says that Shinu is Kena, that he shows Midiraisa Shinu is Kena, and he brings in the Mishnah, says Refer Shinu is Kena. As far as Yush is concerned, he says Yush is Kena, he's not sure if it's Midiraisa or Rabbana, and Rav Yosef says no such thing. Yush is not Kena, it's not Kena, even Midirabbana. So we had yesterday a question, which seems to be a fatal question, which was how do you explain the halacha of the Eiris that we find the machlokas in the Mishnah between the Chachonim and Rabbi Shimon, whether the Ganev is considered to be able to be metamed and b'machshava, how he's going to use it now. And it's talked about over there to use it as a portable tablecloth, as like a picnic table, which doesn't require any maisa. It's a machlokas whether Gazlan Abaylam is more miyayish or a Ganev Abaylam is more miyayish. Depends on the effectiveness of the police force locally. Anyway, but in any event, everybody was made that either the Ganev or the Gazlan is going to be able to be married to this Kli, the Machshava, without any maisa. We asked over there how that's possible. And there's no way that we could say it's talking about any kind of maisa over there, because the whole context was things that require no tikkun whatsoever. The tikkun is meaningless for the aesthetic tikkun, which is the case of the itzva, which is this portable table. So the Gemara reported that mamish 22 years this was an issue, until the day that Rabbi Yosef was appointed Rosh Hashiva, and on that day he came up with the teretz, and his teretz was that Shinui Hashem is also sufficient to be kaina. Okay, Lebaisa throughout the circuit, it's clear that means, here the whole discussion, that means Shinui Hashem together with Yush, obviously, because that's the context of it. If there's no Yush, it's not going to help Shinui Hashem. But Yush with Shinui Hashem, that's what the Mishnah is referring to. So the one who is Miyayish, since over here the Yitzvah is a Shinui Hashem, because Mikorah Mashcha was just called a skin. Now it's called a tablecloth. Put that together with the Yush, and now you've got a Kenyan. That was Rabbi Yosef's brilliant teretz after 22 years that we had yesterday. So now, the question that we had was regarding the Takanas HaShavim. The classic case of Takanas HaShavim is called Takanas Morish, which we spoke about yesterday, and this is what we left off with. A person steals a beam, and he builds a house using the stolen beam. So this is mamish, the classic Takana. If the guy's going to do teshuva, Mi'ikar HaDin says over there that he would have to tear down the house. In order to avoid the need to tear down the house, the Rabbana made a takana that you can pay and you don't have to tear down the house. This is called takanas morish. Now the problem is, and this is where we're up to, which is now five lines from the bottom of Samach Vav Amid Beis, the last word, Vare morish, the ikashine Hashem. Why in the world do we need the takanas morish? Because normally, someone who steals a beam and a guy builds it into his house, as soon as the guy's miyayish, the owner of the beam is miyayish. I mean, he doesn't see anyway very soon that he's going to get this guy to tear down his house and get it back and so on. If the case is over here, they already built it, it means that he wasn't afraid of that. So even though you hold Yush is not Kena, but you also have Shinui Hashem. Why? Because Mikora Kishura, you call a beam, it's a wood, piece of wood. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's called a talala, now it's called a roof, a ceiling. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says, Utsnan, Al Hamarisha Gazush bin Aobi Bira, one of the takanot that were made was that a morish that was stolen, a beam that was stolen that was built into a home, that the owner of the beam is going to have to accept the value of the beam, Shinotu Damav, and cannot insist on getting his beam back, Mipnei Takanat HaShavim, in order to allow this guy to do teshuva, Mashma, that it's only Mipnei Takanat HaShavim. There is a time of Mipnei Takanat HaShavim. The Rabbanan needed to make this takana because otherwise people wouldn't do teshuva. Halav hachi. But if we wouldn't have this special takana, what would be the din? The guy could get back his beam. Why could he get back his beam? I thought you just said that Yush was Shinui Hashem is Kena, and this thing is no longer called a beam, it's now called a ceiling. So something's very strange. Omer of Yosef, that's strange at all. A Morish is never called a shinui Hashem. Why? Because even when you refer to the ceiling as an aggregate, you still refer to the roof beams. It's still called a beam. Lift high the roof beams, as we were talking yesterday. So if that's the case, Mori Shmo Alav, and I'll bring a raya to you from the Pusik itself. Because when the Malach is explaining to Yecheskel the shape, the Tzuras HaBinyan of the Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi, so it says over there that there were Tzal'ot HaBayit and Ubim, the HaUbim. Now what exactly is that? So the Bright explains, Tzla'ot HaBayit, the Tzela always means the side, Atzela HaMishkan. So the Tzla'ot HaBayit, those are the Malatatin. The Malatatin are basically the edgings that you put on top of the walls that are, now they are cut in such a way that the beam sits in them and can't move. And that's very, obviously, they're just sticking on top and nail it in. So they made it in such a way that the beam actually is sunken into the wall. And then they put on the ceiling. So that's called the Malatatin. And what are the Ubim? The Ubim, those are the thick pieces that are the Korot. In other words, the Merishot. So, I mean, we're talking about already a built bayit. So what are you talking about, the ubim? So you see that even when the bayit is built, we refer to the merishot. So that means the roof beams are recognizable even in a built bayit, and they still have that shame aleph. Rabbi Zeira says, that's not the point. The point over here is that a morish, if you tear down the house, the morish is going to be turned back magically into a morish instead of a ceiling. So even though by Shinui HaMaaseh it's possible, and Tosfos points out that Lamaise, we have to say this earlier, a Shinui HaMaaseh, even though you can undo it, may still be a Kinyan, but a Shinui HaShem, which is a very weak change that is associated specifically with Yiyush, if it can be restored to what it was, without the Takanat HaShavim, it didn't change anything. Because what's the guy going to say? Well, you were Miyayish, it's no longer called a beam. Really, says the guy, watch it be called a beam again. Now, all of a sudden, there's nothing left in the house. The ceiling is gone, but the beam survives. Now I got my beam. So that means that it's a shinui achozel lebriato. If that's the case, a shinui achozel lebriato, when you were talking about a shinui hashem, is not considered to be a shinui. And therefore, if it wouldn't have been for the takanat marish, the guy would have been able to demand the destruction of the house, demolish the home, give me back the beam as it was before with its original Shmo Allah. So in other words, but the Yush per se wouldn't have helped. You need to have the Yush plus something else, and in this case, something else is insufficient.
If you would have sold it in half, obviously that would have changed it. Sold the beam in half, then they would have changed it to...
It's no longer called a beam.
If
the device it's less than the shear of usability, we wouldn't call it a beam anymore. We would call it lumber, right? So then that clearly would change. Okay. So this is Rabbi Zera's approach, and therefore this is no problem at all. But then of Takanas Marash
says the Gemara, but wait, I just want to go back to what Rabbi Yosef said. Rabbi Yosef says that a shinui hashem that's not chozer lebriato.
But that's my answer. That's my solution to the portable tablecloth issue.
That's not true though. Shinui, you're talking about shinui hashem she'eino chozer lebriato. Is that true that it's a shinui?
Because when it comes to a mikveh, now again, we're making a rather loose comparison over here, but we're used to this loose comparison, because we made the loose comparison yesterday also, like Gabi, that did have Etnan, where Etnan was a question of whether we consider the thing to still be the thing. It has nothing to do with Kinyonim, it has to do with it. There's no problem with Kinyon there. Guy pays the prostitute fair and square. It's her money. The only question is it suitable for korban, because it's the same tzura that the Torah was makbid not to put on the Mizbeach. Nonetheless, the Rishonim pointed out that we're going to compare that to the din of Shinui Hashem, to Shinui Maisa, Legabe, the Halacha Ba'alut. Okay, here too, when it comes to mikvaot, as you know, there's a din that a mikvah cannot be made of Mayim She'uvim. So Mayim She'uvim is water that has come into a container. The question over here is whether the Shinui of something that is part of the ground, it's been connected, this of course creates big problems. It's how to use pipe. Why don't we consider a pipe to be a kli? So every time that you put a mikveh, usually you'll have a pipe that takes the water from somewhere that's falling on a roof and so on. That means that the water
becomes Shuvi, but it's way into the mikveh. So anyway, you're going to have a puzzle of mikveh. So therefore, what is normally done is that we're koveya something as part of the binyan. After it's part of a binyan, then we can make holes in it and so on. Then it's like drilling a hole in the ground. So once something is kavua on the ground, it's no longer considered to be a kli. Now the problem is, now when it comes to the din of mikvaot, so it says in the braita like this, I'm asking you for this braita. Shinui Hashem, you're saying Shinui Hashem, you're saying it's a Shinui. I'm asking you, is that true? We have a Shinui. What about a Tzinor? A Tzinor, now a Tzinor that should not be thought of the way we think of an enclosed pipe. Basically, a Tzinor was a piece of wood in which you make an indentation for water to go through in the direction that you want. So these are like, you know, blocks that they have for kids' trains, Seth, you know. So that would be called a tzinor, where the train runs it. So here, you took the tzinor, and you make the hole in it, and then you put it into the ground. A little bit sof kavo. By the way, the major achlokas was shown in whether this is talking about a tzinor that has four sides on the hole, which is a little strange, and only that's considered to be a kli, because if you have a piece of eitz that doesn't have a beit kibul, it's called pshute kli eitz, and it would not be bekabel tumah. It shouldn't pass on lagabe shuvim either, if it's not a kli to be bekabel tumah. So lechora over here, many rishonim say, we're talking about a tzinor that is sealed on the edges, and that can actually hold water. What would be the purpose of such a thing? The collecting gravel and junk. So it's like a trap, basically. This is what we're talking about. Something's running along, then you put in a little trap so that anything that would otherwise have filled up the mikveh with junk falls into the trap, and then it's okay. The Rambam learns that it's even talking about without Lavaz Vazid, and even though it may not be called Pshutei Kli Eitz with a Beit Kibul, but Magabi the Din of Shuvim, it's called a Kli because it's Lashimah. Fine, I guess it's not really central to our discussion. Whatever the case was, you take this tzinor, you put in the trap into the tzinor, or you make the water channel in the tzinor, which is the piece of wood. So then it doesn't help. You don't lose the shame of a kli once it had the shame of a kli before by now putting some bolts in it and putting it into the ground. But if first you make it part of the ground, so I think it was bolted to the ground, never had a shame of kli, and then you put the chakak into it, so then it's not going to pass all the mikveh, because it never had a shame kli. So what would make it a shame kli? Not, but according to you, Reb Yosef, your time in Shinui Hashem gives it now a different surah. So if that's the case before, you're right, I could look at it as being part of the ground, but you can't say now if it's chashiv. You understand how loose the comparison is. You're saying if, you're saying it's chashiv enough to give it a shame of a new chafetz, when it would be in the reshus of someone, legabe the kinyan for the gazlan, or the ganav, depending on who, which shita you're going to, the rabban or Rabbi Shimon. So if that's the case, then it should be choshev enough to give it a shame kli, legabe this halacha, of psul mikvaot, also. And therefore it should be sufficient to pasul it, even though you were chokek it. See, I'm rechini Hashem. Miltahi. So then even though you were choking it after you were koveyed, afil kavo lebesof chakako, nami lipasel. So if that would be the case, so even if you were koveya it first, it should also be considered to be a kli, according to you, says the Gemara. It would be. It's true. But lemaisa shayne shi'iva demidrabanani. The psul of mayim shuvim in a mikveh is not a psul d'oraita. It's a psul d'rabbanan. Now again, this is a big machlokas we're showing him. What do we mean? Do we mean a mikveh can use? You can just turn on your tap and you got a kosher mikveh. Boy, that sure makes life easy, midoraita, right? Indeed, there are many Rishonim, many, but there's major, including the Rambam, Shitas and the Rishonim that hold that meteorite. This whole idea doesn't exist of Mayim Shuvim. Okay, there may be Tznaim, it has to be maybe drawn along the ground. Okay, those are details among the Rishonim. However, most hold that what we're talking about over here is the psul of a mikveh with mayim shuvim when it didn't have arboim sah. So that halacha, mikveh that is chaser, so that if you put in it shloish alugim of mayim shuvim, it's priceless, a mikveh, there's no way to make it kosher again. That halacha of mayim shuvim is only drabbanan. And that's what it's referring to over here, legabe the psul of a mikveh, not the kashrus of a mikveh, to pasul the mikveh. Pasul the mikveh means to make it pasul forever. How can you possibly make it pasul forever? Because before it becomes a mikveh kosher, it's filled with shlosha lugi. You can't now add water and say, well, now I have enough. It doesn't work. Okay. So if that din is only the rabbanan, so if that's the case, we're not going to be makbid on it just because it has a shinui hashem, says Rabbi Yosef. But I still insist that when it comes to the dinim of Kenyan by the Ganav and the Gazlan, then Enach Idami, it's considered with Yush to be sufficient to create such a Kenyan. Well, so then if that's the case, you're saying Sheiva is only Drabonan, so then even in the Reisha, where you first made it a Kli, Afilo de Reisha Nami, you say the same thing, that you said you turned it into a Kli, and now you're a Koveyat. What's the big deal? I mean, if you're saying Sheiva is Drabonan, So what's really the problem? It's not, obviously it doesn't have a din of a kli anymore. Something that's mechurba lekarka is not going to be makabel tumah. So it must be, therefore, that what you're saying is, it's a gzera. If we allow a person to use a kli, and then he be kodeyan in the karka, so he can use that for a mikveh, he'll think that it doesn't matter whether it's kavua bekarka or not kavua bekarka, Almost got it. Try that again. Or not kavua bekarka. He's a hard nut to crack. The only thing that works for him is pickle juice. Plus, when he's tired, he has no sense of humor, so it's very hard to start up with him. So, but then if that's the case, you're saying it's a drabon, now it becomes the way some of the Akhrain have explained the question, and it becomes gzera l'gzera. Anyway, the whole thing is only drabon. What are you going to say? Don't use something that really is not makabel tumah because it's kavua bekarka, because since it's a shape kli l'chatchila, so therefore we're afraid you're going to end up using it. I mean, why would we be so backward to make gzera l'gzera when it comes to rabon? Afilo d'reish enami. No, that's not true, because over there, ahatam ikatorat kli alav b'tol, it completely has a shame of a kli. We don't change it from a kli that's supposed to suddenly make it kosher now that you put it in. But mashekin, over here, the piece of wood never had a shame kli on it at all. It's just a piece of wood. It's stuck into the ground. It's a piece of wood in the ground, which means it's just part of the ground. Therefore, you would need a serious change in order to be able to be kovet on a derabbanan. I agree, says Rabbi Yosef, that a shinui hashem is not sufficient to give it a teras kli to make it now like it's not attached. Makes sense. Haganav v'agazlan v'ha'anas. Then we have somebody, anas in this case means a chamsan. So somebody who steals, or even if he pays for it, and so on, higdishan higdish. They now take an animal, they're magdish. The higdish is chal. If they took off truma from the peros that they stole, truma tan truma, they took off maisras, maasrotehem, maaser. So how exactly is that going to work unless Yush is Kena? You, Rav Yosef, holds Yush is not Kena. So how in the world can a goslin make something hegdish? Not his to make hegdish. Must be that Yush is Kena on its own. Exactly as I say Rabbo or Rabbo, depending on our gears as yesterday. No, Rav Yosef will say, the truth is, over there you have Shinui Hashem together with the Yush. Why? Because it comes hand in hand. When you have something that's first called Teva, and now it's called Truma, so doing that, Bishah, that the person was Beyayish, so then it's considered to be a kosher Truma. If it's before you had Behegdesh, the Hegdesh was Meikara Chulin Vashta Hegdesh. So that's also considered to be a Shinui. Now Lamaisis, Tysis points out, the truth is, when you're Magdashit, you have Shinui Rishus. And if you have Shinui Rishus, we'll see you later, that Yush was Shinui Rishus also came. You don't need the Shinui Hashem. So why do we need to come on over here to giving it a Shinui Hashem? So this is because you don't necessarily have a Shinui Rishus. It depends what type of carbon. If it's Kachim, Shiyesh Lehem Achrayis. So you have the Achrayis to bring this Egdesh. Let's say Achatas and Asham. So then there's no Shinui Rishus, because it remains now in your rishus, because anybody who's chayiv b'achrayut, if it gets hit by lightning, standing in the shoes of the owner. So then we wouldn't say it's considered to be shinui rishus. Therefore, the Gemara wants to bring a teretz that will work across the board for any type of kote. Very good. Omer of Chista, Omer of Yonatan, minayin l'shinui shu koneh, shenemar v'yeshivat ha'gzeila. You could just write v'yeshivat ha'gzeila. So why add the words asher gazal? As we saw earlier, im ke'in shegazal yachzir. So if the chafetz, as it were, as it was at the time of the gazela, is still extant, so then you have to give it back. It's no longer the same chafetz. It's not asher gazal. So then, dami ba'aba bay shalume. All that's left is the translation into the analogous value. Says Gemara, yeah, but Asher Gazal, excuse me, is telling us something very different, something very fundamental. As you know, the context over there is not really in the dinim of Gezela. The context of that pasuk is the dinim of a Nishbal Sheker. So there the Torah is saying, the halacha, that you have to pay the chomesh, and you have to bring the korban asher, and it appears in the dinim of the korbanos, this pasuk. It's not part of Mishpatim in the dinim of the Gezela. So the fundamental point over there, obviously, contextually, is to determine who is responsible for the following dinim, the ashram and the chomesh and so on. And therefore, my first reaction to Asher Gazal is what? If you personally did the gazela, then you have to pay the chomesh. Suppose a guy doesn't do the gazela himself, but inherited from his father. The chiyuv, his father stole something. Now his father was, when it was Veda, and he was mitchayev now to pay the chomesh. There's karka that he left his son. So now the shaila is, the keren he definitely has to pay. Does he also have to pay the chomesh? Comes along the Torah to say, Asher Gazal, did you do the gazela? You didn't do the gazela, you don't have to worry about paying the chomesh, even though the man who did do the gazela was marish you this money. Okay, so that's what it's coming for. Not to tell me to aim shegazal. So haya shegazal mi boilam ute gezel aviv. Someone who inherits his father's gezela, meaning his chiyuv of chomesh, sheinu motiv chomesh al gezel aviv. So then if that's the case, how can you use it to tell me asher gazal, meaning there has to be ke'im shegazal? Says the Gemara, no, because there's two points here. Couldn't it have said, instead of saying heishivet ha-gzela, it could have said, heishiv et gizelo. So we understand, gizelo means ha-gzela shalom. And we understand that this is all referring to what it is that you stole, not what it is that your father stole. Why does it have to add asher gazal? Asher gazal already tells us something else. That which is in the state that it was in at the time of the gizela. So basically, it's telling me the simple thing. Look, you were the one who was asher gazal, but for that alone, I should have said gzelo. Therefore, I also understand both halachas. So nichtav rachmanav eshivet gzelo. Asher gazal lamali, shema amina tarte. Now we know two halachas. First of all, it's got to be your own gzela. Secondly, there's only a chiyuv of returning the actual chefetz of the gzela if it is ke'ed shegazal. The Ikari Amri. Now, interestingly enough, there's another approach that claims that what Rabbi Yonatan had said was the exact opposite, because we didn't accept this teretz. So, in other words, according to the Ikari Amri, what Rabbi Chisda Rabbi Yonatan said was, "Binai l'shinui she'eino kon." How do you know that a shinui is not a kinyan? She'nemar ve'shivat ha'gzela. Give back that gazela. I don't care what's going on. Mikom akom. Get that gazela out of your hand. What? But it says Agzela Asher Gazal. It says only if it's the same, doesn't it? No. Haumi boile al gizelo shalom osif chomesh, veino osif chomesh al gizel aviv. The Asher Gazal is not coming to tell me it has to be in the same state. Asher Gazal is coming to tell me to be mamayet gizel aviv, and he doesn't hold of the possibility of writing gizelo, because then it would be referring to the actual gezel, the principal. And that isn't true. He's still going to have to be magzer the gezela. Once the father had that chiyuv, he's going to have to return it from the sada. It's only the chomesh that the Torah is passing him from. So it's telling me the following chiyuvim are yours if asher gazal. Omar Hula. Minayin liyu she'ino koner. Hula says, look, I'm going to prove to you that yush is not a kinyan. Because one of the things that Malachi speaks about the bizoyan of kachin in Klal Yisrael is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, you're asking me why I'm upset at the way you guys bring karbonot. Ve'evetem gazul. You bring things that are stolen. Ve'eta piseach, ve'eta cholen. You bring a lame animal, a sick animal. And I'm supposed to like this. I'm supposed to enjoy this. I don't want this. Now, if he puts together gazul, piseach, and choleh, then obviously the gazul is in the same context as the piseach. In other words, a piseach that's possible for a korban is only if it's a mum kavua. So if the animal is lame, then it means it's permanently lame. So if it's a piseach, it's now missing a foot, it's broken. So let like takanta claws, nothing to do about it. There's no way to be machshir now, wave a magic wand on it and say this carbon is now currently kosher. There's no takana. So that's the case. The gazoo means let like takanta. There's no way you can bring a gazoo. I don't care if the bialim was miyayesh, or the bialim wasn't miyayesh, loshan, if they use loshan, lacha yush, mash inkein. If you held that yush was a kinyan, I mean, what, we're not going to go back to Sheshes of Abrashis to figure out how this got into your Rishas. Lamais, at the time that you made an Hegdash, should say there's no Chepetz involved in it. If you need Yirush and Shinoi Rishas, then, and we said that would work. But fine, but that means as you were being Mishana, the Rishas into Hegdash, you were doing a sin. You're removing it from the Rishas of the violin. There I understand. The Torah says that can't go on the Mizbeah. So maybe Lagavi Kinyonim, Hegdash is Kenyan, but it's not a kosher carbon. But if you would hold that Yush on its own is a complete Kenyan, so then fine. But then that's 10 years later, now the guy's doing something, so now it's no good. It's over, okay, whatever, I did tshuva, I paid for it. I mean, that's not the point. Okay. Must be, therefore, says Ula, that there's no such thing as Yush being Kenyan. Now, Tosis points out, if we said earlier that Gonav Tlev and Asa Ayim, that's considered to be Shinui B'yodo and Yishkenah, so then the Pasuk isn't really true. Because there is such a thing as a gazul that has a takana. You stole a small animal and now grew up, so that's a shinoi maisa. Now you don't need the shinoi Hashem to be kaina. You were kaina of a shinoi maisa if you hold that that's considered to be a shinoi. So then how do you understand the pasuk? So Tosha says the meaning, if you hold that that's shinoi maisa, the meaning is that the gazul as it is, less like takanta. That's the point. I mean, obviously, it turns into a different animal. That was the whole meaning of saying that that's not a shinui biyodo and iskena ribila. So over here also, you would say that that's not the animal that you stole. That's not the gazul. Fine. But the gazul as it is, there's nothing to do about, says Ula. That's the meaning of the pasuk. Mm-hmm. Correct. Rava says, I got a proof for you. It says korbano. The Torah says specifically korbano. Again and again, that carbono learns, it has to be, we learn from it, it has to be your carbon. Velo hagazul. So now, think about that. When does it have to be your carbon? Well, obviously it has to be your carbon. I need a pasuk to tell me it's possible if it's not even in your rishus. Elolav liachar yush. Now, if it's completely in your rishus liachar yush, so then why is it possible? Must be because the yush is not kaina. It's only the yush together. What happened over here is if yush itself would have been sufficient, so then that would have been enough. Must be that yush itself was insufficient. Therefore, you needed yush mishinu rishus. At the moment that you did the hegdash, therefore you were doing an avera. Therefore, the carbon is not kosher. But if Yirsh itself would be Kena, there should be no problem. So from Karbano alone, we learn that it's okay. What? Rava himself was the one who said yesterday that doesn't prove anything. Remember? But this is a riot to the Girsa again. Right? Rava Mamihacha Karbano, that means that yesterday was Rava, not Rav. So Rava was the one who said that Gazal, Karban, the Chavret, that's talking about over there, that he stole the actual carbon. Now he said, and therefore, it's we're not talking about this case at all. Of he stole an animal and made it a carbon, we brought that with the same riot from the Zov, remember? Who's not going to be Batame the Moshe if it isn't his. The Mishkav that isn't his. So how do you explain what happened to him? Well, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of a small mind, Changed his mind. There's something wrong with that. What's wrong? See, Ibrahim Dema Adarbe. He may have changed his mind. Or, the truth is, and this is the raya that here we can't change the Girsa to Rabba. This forces, Tosfos brings raya, forces us to learn that it was Rabba, which changes the way that a lot of the previous Mandi Yomrim are. Because Rabba had a Talmud, Rav Papa. And oftentimes Rav Papa would say things that people would assume he's quoting from Rava, because they don't always quote Rava by name. When he would say something, as we learned in the Gemara elsewhere, the klal is that a Talmud is usually quoting his rabbi. So people thought that what Rav Papa was saying was coming from Rava. Lemais, if we find a contradiction between a mimer of Rava and another mimer of Rava, it's very likely that we thought it's a contradiction because we attributed one to Rava that shouldn't have been attributed. It was actually Rav Papa's personal opinion. So, Rav Papa Amra. One of these mamorim was said by Rav Papa, I don't know which one, but certainly is not a contradiction to Rava. But if that's the case, it's got to be Rava, not Rava. Okay, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that Tashlume Kefal is universal, whereas Tashlume Arba Ava Chavisha is limited particularly to Shor V'Seh. Now, we had numerous examples, and the Mishnah actually went through them, of things where the Torah said a Shor, or it's an Aser, or it's an Achamor, or whatever, and we expanded them, and the model for that expansion was the Dinim of Shabbos, where the Torah says, V'chol b'emtecha, after saying Shorcha, V'chaborcha, so V'chol b'emtecha, everything. So from there we learned, and that's a reboot. So over there we learned that wherever the Torah talks about a Shor or a Chamor, it's referring to any organism. We're talking about even a bird. So how exactly do we know that the Din of Shor and Seh is only a Shor and Seh? I mean, maybe what we should do is we should create a model, perhaps, of a working animal, which you pay five, a non-working animal, which you pay four. I mean, but to say that it's only literally a Shor and Seh, that is so unusual that we don't have another example of such a thing. It's very weird. We should use Dafka, a Shor and Seh. I mean, of course, we have the Din of the Bechor. The Din of Chamor is limited, indeed, as the Chamor among the behemoths, Timaeus. But, I mean, here, Lagabi Tashlumin, it sounds wild to say that there's a special Din of the Shor and Seh. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, so why, indeed, is it limited? Why not Nalef? Why don't we learn out Shor, Shor, Mishabes? Just like when it says Shorcha by Shabbos, Laban Yanuach Shorcha, it refers to any kind of animal, including wild animals, a chayan, an oaf, kayotzeve. The same thing should be true about Tashlumei Arba'a V'Chamisha, Afkan, we should say, chayav of kayotzeve. How do you come off such a thing? It's unbelievable. Oh, says Rava, I'll tell you why. Because the Torah repeats in the din of Tashlumei Arba'a V'Chamisha, two times the word Shor and Seh. Unnecessarily. We'll see why it's unnecessarily in a moment. So what does it say? It says, Ki ignov ish Shor o Seh. We listen very carefully. I'm sorry you don't have your chumash, but I want to interrupt that. So, Ki ignov ish Shor o Seh. So either or, it says, right? Shor o Seh. Utvacho, which is Lashon Yachid. He shechted it. O mecharo, or sold it. Then it says, Chamisha bakar yeshalem tachat ha-shor. So, that's a tachat is just the shor, arbatzon tachat ha-seh. So we have a reference now to shor and seh twice. Now we're going to say, in a moment, why we consider one of these to be extras, to teach that I mean dafka what I'm saying. So it says, rather since the Torah said both shor and seh twice, it's coming to tell me only a Shor and a Seh and nothing else. And what would you recommend that the Torah would have said? I mean, Haimiyater, why is there anything extra here? What should we do? Should we leave out the Shor and the Seh in the end of the Pasuk? So what we should say is just the din, that if somebody, you know, is Shor or Seh, Tvacho, Mecharo, Chamisha bakar yishalem tachtav, ve'arbatzon tachtav. And we would figure out on our own that we mean respectively, right? Because, I mean, if it's saying pay five bakar, that's referring to the shor. If it's saying pay four tzon, that's referring to the seh. So why did you have to, I mean, we're not idiots that you should have to say tachat ha-shor, tachat ha-seh. So you're saying shor and seh again. So your claim, Rabbi, is that that's extra, and that's how we know. No, that's not true. Because Ikat Rachmana Hachi, had the Torah written that, Hava Mina Boy Shalume Tisha, Nikolach HaVeachad. I would say, you steal a Shor or a Seh, then what to do is you gotta pay five Shvarim and four Seh. Nine animals in total, whether you stole a Shor or a Seh. I mean, if you don't say that I mean, that I'm talking about Tachat HaSeh or Tachat HaShor, then why wouldn't I conclude that? So why wouldn't I say that? V'chi Tema, maybe you'll say, I mean, Why would I have thought that? It says tachtav. I mean, it doesn't say tachtav, but obviously that's what we're suggesting. Let it say tachtav, right? It says tachat ashar, tachat aseh. So we're suggesting, instead of saying tachat ashar, tachat aseh, say tachtav, which would be the twice we're saying tachtav. And therefore, what we have is zocha tachtav, zaktiv tachtav, tachtav. What we have over here is tachtav, mentioned twice. And what that means, that would be one tachtav is for shor, and one tachtav is for seh. Because it can't be tachtav of either, because then you're left with an extra tachtav, right? You should just say, chamisha bakar, v'arba'at satzon, you shall have tachtav. Meaning either one, the shor or the seh, would be mechayev of you in 5 plus 9. But now that it, plus 4 equals 9. But now that it says tachtav twice, obviously it means apply the 5 to 1 and the 4 to the other. And if the 5 is bakar and the 4 is tzon, it obviously means respectively, right? So, I mean, anybody would read it like that. So then it would be chad tachtav miyater, and that's your argument. It's not a good argument either. Because ahumi boile ledrosha achrina, I need the tachtav. And you couldn't have made the argument, why would the Torah write Taktav twice? I'll tell you why the Torah would write Taktav twice. Titania, Yochol Ganav Shor Shavim Mane, Yishalim Taktav Negidim. You might think you stole a prize-winning shor and you shechted it or sold it. So the Torah just says, pay a shor. Okay, so I'll pay a shor. But the farmers in England, they call the ones that are about to drop dead screws. Screws. So I'll pay you 4 screws now for a 5 for a beautiful award-winning shor. Talmud Lomar, Taktav, Taktav. Therefore, the Torah stresses over here. No. It's got to be mamish, a replacement. So by writing it that way, it's stressing the replacement value being similar to a high-quality shor, not just any old shor. Oh, so this isn't going to work. All right, you know what? Let's try the other approach. Let's try the approach that the opening shor v'seh are extra. Okay, so then what we should say is like this. Elo shor v'seh d'resha are actually miyutar. Why? D'nichtov rachmana ki ignov ish, somebody steals and checks what he stole or sells what he stole. Chamisha bakar yishalei tachat ashor v'arbatzam tachat aseh. Doesn't that say it all? Well, I mean, I understand that. Obviously, that's what you stole. You stole the shor, so you pay 5 bakar tachat ashor. You stole a seh, you pay 4 batzon tachat aseh. Everything is great. No, it's not great, says the Gemara, because he got a rachmana hachi. Have amina adagonim trei v'tavachlo. Look, it says over there, ki ignov ish. Mashma, the two things that are going to be discussing. So, maybe you'd have to take a shor and a seh and check them, and only then you're chayev 5 plus 4. No, can I think that? It says, utvacho, lashon yachid. It includes over there the object of the verb. Tavach oto. So that means I only had one animal, right? Lachad. Well, I still would have thought. You have to steal 2, okay? Ema ad the gun of tarvayu. And then for the mechira, you sold both. What do you mean? It says, umecharo. It's the same thing. You sold 1. Mecharoktiv. Okay, but still. Maybe you have to steal 2, ad gonev trei, and you shecht 1 and steal the other one. So tvacho lechad, mecharo lechad, then put the 2 together, take your shor and your seh, then one of them was shechted and one of them was sold, and pay a total of 9 animals. But if you just did this to 1 animal, maybe you'd be potter. That's what I might think. So av amina ad gonev trei, v'tavachad u'mazbinchad. How could you have thought that? It says or. It doesn't say and. It doesn't say umacharo. It says omacharo. So you obviously do not have to do both of these things. Therefore, it's clearly talking about 2 separate cases. You stole a shor, you pay 5. You stole a seh, you pay 4. Why do I have to repeat myself and say shor v'seh again in the ratio? Ah, must be coming to tell me don't use these as models. There are specific cases that are not to be expanded upon. Nope. It's also not true. Why? Because I could still tell you, Hava Mina, Ad Goniv Tarvayu V'Tavachad U'Meshayachad, Maybe what the Torah means is a guy has to steal a shor and a seh together in order to be mitchayev. And he has to sell one and leave the other one, or shecht one and leave the other one. But and that's what we're talking about. So in other words, if you are such a vicious person that you'll take the guy's shor and his seh, but anyway, we're talking about a crazy case in which specifically a shor, maybe specifically a shor and his seh. You know, let's keep an open mind. Could mean anything. So if it would have written that, I said, okay, you walked off with his livestock. So you got his working animal, and you got his milk animal, and his meat animal, or his clothing animal. I mean, this is horrific. So now you're going to have to really pay through the nose. You went ahead now, and you shechted it. One of them, even one of them. Or sold one of them. You're dead duck. You're going to have to pay 9 animals. 5 for the shor, 4 for the seh. There's something wrong with that. Mashekin v'arayt shor v'seh at the beginning, and shor v'seh at the end. So now I'm making it very clear that no, either a shor or a seh, and then respectively 5 or 4. So I don't have anything extra, Rav. I don't understand, what are you referring to? What is extra? So hava minah degonav tarvayah, v'tav achad ha-mashayachad ha-mazav achad ha-mashayachad. Ah, well, it's actually more sophisticated than all that. What I'm talking about is the shor of the seifa and the seh of the resha are extra. Because let's figure the way to get maximum density out of this without anything extra and without any possibility of a misunderstanding. The Torah could have written like this. Ki yignov ish shor utvacho o machoro. Okay? So then chamisha bakar yeshalem tachtav v'arbat son tachat haseh. That would be very clear. I begin with a single noun, a shor, which now the tachtam, obviously, the pronoun, him, is referring back to the shor. All right, they mention the shor again. Then when we say or, 4 up instead of a seh, you mean, and if we replace the shor with a seh, meaning you had stolen a seh, then you would be paying 4 for the seh. Now that is maximum information density without any need of repeating. Mentioning the seh and the resha, you don't need to. Mentioning the shor again and the seifa, you don't need to. You really mess things up by writing shor v'seh, and then you have to now make it very clear in the seifa that we're referring to either or, and it means specifically 4 or 5 in one case. So this would have been much more efficient. Since you wrote it in the inefficient fashion, you're also telling me that this is halacha, that is limited specifically to shor v'seh. So why did you write it like that? Why do I need the shor to be repeated in the seifa and the seh to be mentioned in the resha? Lomali. Shma mina shor v'seh in midi achrina lo. This proves conclusively that the shor and the seh are indeed unique, and now there's no way which we can expand it by learning out shor mishabes. Vari morish tiika shinei Hashem nemikar kishura v'ashta telola. So Lamaisa, you have over there not Yush alone, but Yush Vashine Hashem. Omre Chist Omre Bionatan. Minayin Lashinu Shukune. Shenamar veshivat agzela matam lomar asher gazal im keim shegazal yachzir veim lav damim bealma baishalume. Hayra asher gazal mi boi lamute gezel aviv sheino mosif chomesh al gezel aviv im keim nichtov rachamana veshivat et gizelo. Why do we need asher gazal amalei lemichta shema mina tarte? Ikre abe amrav chistam rabbi yonatan minayin leshinu sheino kone. שנאמר והשיב את הגזלה מכל מקום, אייב הכתיב אשר גזל, ומי בא אלי הגזלו שלא מוסיף חומש, ואינו מוסיף חומש על גזל אביו. אמרו לה, מנהי להיו שאינו קונה, שנאמר והביתם גזול את הפיסח, את החולה, שמים גזול דומה את הפיסח, מה הפיסח לא תתקנת כאן את הכלל? אף גזול, לא תתקנת כאן את הכלל? לא שולף להיש, לא שולח להיש. רוב אמר מיוחד, קורבנו ולא הגזול. נאי אסקיו אימא, תהיו לי לפני יוש פשיטה, למה לקרוא? לא, אבל יחר יוש, שמע מן היוש לא כל נשמע מן ה... What? It was Rav, just yesterday you said, that the case over there was talking about the gozal korban lechavre. Well, Iboitem ahad abe, Iboitem ahad mina was actually Rav Papa that we mistook for his rev. Mira tashulei abba avacha mishat vamai, nelef, shor shor mishabat, מעלה עלן חייב אוף כעצב הם, סובי שור וסוסו חייב אוף כעצב הם. אומר רוב המקרו שור וסה שני פעמים, שור וסה אין מיני אקרידה לא. אמרי, אי מייתר, אמין, אילה בשור וסה דסייפה מייתר, what do you suggest? דניכת רחמונה כי יגנוב איש שור עושה וטווחו ומחורו חמישה בקר יש להם תחתיו, וארבע צאון תחתיו. אמין, כתב הרבה רק יאב אמין רבי שלומי תשאל לכל אחד ואחד. V'chitema, I wouldn't have thought that because it says tachtav tachtav, which would mean one tachtav is miyater. That's not true because umi boyle ledrosh achrina. Tanya yochol ganav shor shav amana yeshalim tachtav negidim. Amud lomar tachtav tachtav. Shor v'sed reisha miyuter. Nichtav rachmanik yignov ish utvachol mecharo chamisha bakay yeshalim tachat hashor ve'avat zon tachat haser. What do you mean? How would I think that? It says it's vachol. Lechav, okay. Ad the gunif tavayu umam v'zavilu. No, it also says mecharo k'tiv. Lechav. Alright, so ema avamina ad the gunif tavayu and then tavachad and mishayachad. Oh, mazvin, wait a second. Ad the gunif treve tavachad and mazvin chad. No, mecharo k'tiv. Akate avamina או מחרוקתם. הקטע ומינה הדגוניף תרוויו וטוב אחד ומשאי אחד ומאז בן אחד ומשאי אחד. אלו שור דה סייפה וסדר ראשי מייתר. נקרא כמונה. כי גנוב איש שור וטווחו ומחורו. חמישה בקר יש להם תחתיו. וארבע צום תחת עשה. שור דה סייפה וסדר ראשי למה לי? שמע מן השור עשה. אין מיליאק רינם. לא.